take us to that horrible moment on April 15th, David, or let's go back to April 14th, I guess, that night. What is the official version of what happened and what was going on?
Well, I think anybody who's seen the movie knows the official version, and that's how I got into this. My wife was watching the movie. I was trying to avoid it. And
How come?
I don't know. It just seemed every time somebody does a movie about ships, it bothers me. The problem is that Hollywood is doing Hollywood, and they do that better than, you know, anybody else.
Sure.
But they are not doing reality, and I can't help but see where the I have a hard time willingly suspending my disbelief, I guess. But what I saw was the accident, and the accident in the movie, the ship comes up to the iceberg, which is kind of sitting out there all alone, and it turns to the left, and as it does, it scrapes its starboard or right front bow on the iceberg and then pulls away and goes off. And I looked at that, and I just started laughing because it's a physical impossibility. That ship in the movie, and this is not to condemn the movie, that scene in the movie is right out of the official report on the loss of the Titanic I've got here, right here in front of me, by the British government.
Which you question, right?
Oh, I don't question it. I know it's not right. I mean, there's a difference. Ships steer at the back end, not the front. So what you saw in the movie, a school bus pulling out of a school parking lot could scrape its right front fender against, say, a stop sign or something, and then the rest of the bus would pull away as the wheels turn and the bus pulls away. And that's what you saw in the movie. But in a ship, the stern swings a wider circle than the bow. So if that had been what had happened, Titanic would not have hit the front of the very front of the ship, what's called the peak tank, and the first three holds. It would have started damaging where the damage ended, and it would have continued all the way aft, which is not the accident that occurred.
Well, now, first of all, how could they even see an iceberg out there in the middle of the ocean at 11:40 p.m. at night? Was there a full moon, for example, that was lighting up the area?
No, it was one of the dark nights. There are light nights and dark nights out there, and this was a dark night, and that was a problem. And one of the other problems is that at the time of the accident, the sea was virtually flat calm, probably because of a large field of ice in the vicinity acting as a damper, in addition to the fact that the winds were light. And so you've got a very hard seeing condition, really. Most experienced captains of that era expected to see ice at 2 to 3 miles. The traditional story is that they saw the berg 37 seconds in front of the ship. 2 to 3 miles would be 6 to 8 minutes.
And how big was the iceberg, David? I mean, if you were on top of the ship looking at it, would it be as high as you?
It was 60 to 63 feet high, I would say. The reason for that is it was as high as the boat deck, a little bit more, but not much more, and the boat deck was 60 foot off. So, you know, I would say it was around 60 foot. It's not a big berg, in other words.
Okay, but pretty scary when you would come up on it.
Yes, in the sense that you mean it. But you see, what I've been doing is studying this and saying, look, it's really not believable that you have a ship with some very competent people right down the line from the captain to the guys in the lookout, you know, in the crow's nest. You're not dealing with a bunch of, you know, bumbling people. You're dealing with the best. You're dealing with ex-Navy guys. They're well-trained. You're dealing with the highest-paid people in the business ran the mailboat.
The cream of the crop out there.
So I said it isn't possible. The real story has to be different. I didn't know where that would take me, but I now am of the opinion that an iceberg was seen 6 to 8 minutes prior to the accident, and that was the three strikes on the lookout's bell. By the way, the three strikes on the bell it depends on whether it's to port, starboard, or dead ahead, how many strikes they ring.
Well, now, how do you know, David, it was 6 to 7 minutes as opposed to the 37 seconds?
Seaman Scarrett was in the forecastle, heard the warning bell, and it was 6 to 7 minutes before it impact, or I'm sorry, 5 to 8 minutes before impact is what he said.
So nobody reacted?
Well, that's the apparent nobody reacted. What I started studying is the fatal flaw in Titanic is not the steel, which everyone's talked about, not the rivets, which have gotten a lot of play. The fatal flaw in Titanic was the design and layout of the bridge, which prevented communication among what are called today the bridge team. Ineffective bridge team management is the result. That's modern jargon. And then a little more modern jargon is they lost situational awareness. They were in the middle of a compass evolution. Evolution is a fancy term that sailors use to mean a job. And effectively, when the lookouts rang their bell, that job had to be completed. Murdoch, who was looking out, saw he had plenty of room, or apparently had plenty of room. Now, the thing is that what you have to do is build a case where the ship doesn't come up to the iceberg in a left turn, which is another thing. The conventional story is that the ship is actually turning left during the accident. You have to have the ship approach and strike on the iceberg at while still going straight forward. And this has bothered me for 5 years. My final analysis on this is that what had happened is that the iceberg was really two bergs. One was, and it had been a single piece. It had calved or cracked apart into two bergs, a very large one that was still white because it was still upright, and a smaller one which was dark, at least the side facing the ship. So when Murdoch waited for this compass evolution to be done, he was seeing the bright berg, but he didn't know what was going on with the compass evolution, so he had a mystery going on. That's a loss of situational awareness. He really wasn't paying enough attention. The lookouts have been told by Lighthaller in the previous watch to look for small ice and growlers, which meant keep your eyes right down the track of the ship. So when Murdoch finally ordered the left turn, he turned it left right at the second dark iceberg.
Was that a fatal turn?
It turned out to be.